Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. A few of the ways you can learn about how we are church together is to check out the bulletin that has a calendar and worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table to receive any of your questions. It is a wonderful morning here at Gates Presbyterian Church as we celebrate with our brothers and sisters across the world on this World Communion Sunday. A few reminders that we will be celebrating the sacrament this morning, and the table is open to all. We will be receiving the sacrament in the more traditional way of passing the plate. There's some instructions in your bulletin if this is your first time taking communion with us. There is no Sunday school today. This is one of the opportunities that we have to share together in our worship experience with all ages. And in doing so this morning, we have a very wonderful opportunity to share worship with Susan Orr, who is our presbyter for mission and education here in Genesee Valley. She's also an elder at Laurelton Presbyterian Church, where Katie is this morning. She is also co-facilitator for the Presbyterian Church USA Mosaic of Peace Conference, held every 2 years in Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Jerusalem. Presbyterians travel to the Holy Land to experience this remarkable and troubled region and encounter its diverse people and explore the history and the complexity of the current situation. This morning, we will focus on listening for God's voice through the people of this region. And instead of a sermon, you'll have an opportunity to hear those voices through the voices of many GPCers here today. We will also be receiving the peacemaking offering. More information in your bulletin. And the news has been spread, if you have not heard it by now. We're on rain plan for the free wheel-a-thon. Rochester sunshine always being a bit deceiving, but thunderstorms are coming. So Katie has asked that I share with you that you all who are participating meet here at the church at 12:30. You'll be heading to Grease Ridge Mall to do I'm not exactly sure, but I heard it's going to be fun. You'll come back here to eat, and your parents, you can pick up youth at 4 o'clock here. Two other announcements I have and a few others this morning. Please keep in prayer our brothers and sisters of the Negril Charge in Jamaica as Hurricane Matthew is making its way to the island. I was checking in with the pastor there, Reverend Kimberly Hines, and she appreciates all of our prayers at this uncertain time. At the end of the month, we will be having a congregational meeting. October 30th, we're going to be revising some bylaws. I know, sounds like fun, doesn't it? We will be reviewing a new child safety policy passed by session. We're going to be doing some updates and feedback and talk about how things are going in the life of the congregation. Materials are out on the table in the hallway, so go ahead and pick those up. And we've got Kathy for an announcement this morning.
Good morning. So I need your help today. I need you all to say yes. Ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Thank you. So please answer yes to the following questions. Do you want to spread the good news about our church?
Yes.
Would you love to be part of the spiritual growth of our congregation?
Yes.
Would you like to help grow our church through hospitality and membership efforts?
Yes.
Would you like to get to know more about the inner workings of GPC worship?
Yes.
And are you a people person wanting to meet new people?
Yes.
Well, that's just great because the nominating committee has been working behind the scenes for a few months and is actively seeking you, GPC members, for good news elder, worship elder, spiritual growth elder, hospitality and finance elder. We are also recruiting for trustees and deacons. Now, the leadership roles are only 2 years, folks, 2 years, and the term begins January 1st. So, if you are interested, and you just told me you were.
Yes.
And you would like to nominate yourself or someone else for one of these positions, or just want more info, myself and a couple of others of us on the nominating committee will be at the communion table after service. The nominating committee is myself, Kathy Wakeman, my husband Larry Wakeman. Yeah, we do a lot of work together at home. Whit Beckett, Ginny Barley, and Nancy Hasenlop. Remember, we need you.
Amen.
Yes.
That's a hard act to follow. But I'll try. It's October, and it's our opportunity to serve another St. Joseph's meal. 4 times a year we do it. So on the third Saturday in October, we are going to go down to St. Joseph's and serve the best goulash in Rochester. But we need your help. So the sign-up sheets are on the kiosk outside, and we can use your help donating food or donating your time on Friday the 14th. Come and take a class in Goulash 101. And you'll never worry about having a party with 50 again, because you always have your fallback go-to goulash dish that you can make. So we appreciate it. And then on Saturday the 15th, we need some people to go down to South Avenue to St. Joseph's House and help serve it. So it's out there. Please sign up. Mark your calendar. Thanks.
Good morning. If you are interested in attending the women's dinner and program on dementia and caregiving, and you haven't yet signed up, there's one more day to sign up. You can either sign up on the kiosk, see me after church, or give me a call. Thank you.
All right, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship God together. So for the introit this morning, we're going to have a chance to join our voices together with the choir. So grab your hymnals, turn to page 388, and I'm going to have you stand. And the choir is going to sing it through the first time, and then we are going to join to sing the second time. And when we're finished, you may remain standing for the call to worship.
Thank you.
These breads on the table this morning are symbols of the many different peoples within the family of God.
An area where so many lives are under the threat of unimaginable violence. We celebrate those who are working together to bring about peace in their countries through nonviolent actions.
Where peace agreements and disintegrating, literally, staggering numbers of women and children die, and young boys are recruited to be soldiers. We celebrate the courage of peaceful protesters seeking to keep governments accountable.
An island displayed by tourist ads as a tropical paradise, ignoring the hundreds of thousands of sisters and brothers facing incredible challenges with violence and poverty. We celebrate those who are courageous enough to respond to the changing needs of the Caribbean in a global context.
We break the bread in Guatemala,
where the deep scars of civil war remain on the land and people, where violence, poverty, and hunger is causing children to flee and cross the border into this country. We celebrate those who seek to provide hospitality to strangers and keep families together.
We break the bread of Rochester,
a place where our young people face insurmountable debt and the reality of unemployment, and our elderly folk living in fear of not being cared for. We celebrate those who are being a good neighbor and speaking out for what they believe in.
A place full of shame and sorrow and pain. We celebrate all those who join at tables of peace and justice to bring about God's kingdom. The table is set. So come, let us worship God together.
Our furry friend has great rhythm. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of mercy, we, your people, have divided your world. We seek safety behind walls of egoism, fear, and prejudice. In the name of security, we have sacrificed day-to-day life together and have lost the opportunity to see you in the face of the other. Change our hearts and minds so that we come closer to each other as different peoples, different faiths, different cultures, different nationalities, but as one family, one humanity. We confess that walls still stand between us justice. We pray for your forgiveness and mercy. And now please take a moment and pray silently. The good news is God calls us to this holy feast table over and over again and provides a place for us to bring our questions and our struggles. With the gift of grace through Jesus Christ, we are nourished. Thanks be to God.
At this time, I would like to invite the children to come forward. We've got some extra friends in our arms. I'm so glad. Hello, everyone. I'll grab one for you. So I'm going to grab a microphone real fast, and I would like you all to say hello to my friend Susan Orr. You say hello? There you go.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about a trip that I took a couple months ago. I got on an airplane. Have any of you ever flown on an airplane before? Yeah, I was on this airplane for a really long time. They fed me breakfast. They fed me dinner. I even tried to sleep. That didn't work out so well. And I went to a place that I've read about all my life, and I think that you may have heard about it, too. It's a place called Bethlehem. Have you heard of Bethlehem before? No? Who's heard of Bethlehem? Some of you, I bet you have. You just don't remember. What do you remember about Bethlehem? Where have you heard about it? It's a special place. What happened there? Do you know? Who knows? Tell me. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Does that sound familiar now? We sing a bunch of songs about that every Christmas, about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. It's pretty cool. It's really still there. And I got to go and see it. So every year when we have Christmas, we tell the story about when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There were some people there. Do you remember who else was there when Jesus was born? You know some of the names? Do you remember? God was definitely there. Absolutely. Who else? Do you know? Yeah. The wise men. Excellent. Whom else do you think? Who else? Would you tell me? Animals were there. Were there other people there too? Mary and Joseph. All these people. And sometimes in our homes, we have like a decoration at Christmas time that tells this story. It's called a nativity. And the nativity has Mary and Joseph and the baby and shepherds and the wise men. When I went to Bethlehem this year, I bought a nativity from there, but it's kind of a special nativity. I want to show this to you. Maybe you can tell me what's different about it. What's different about this nativity? Can you see it? It's kind of small. I had to pack it in my suitcase. What's different about this nativity set? Can you see that? Who's on the back side here? Right? Can you see that? What's there? What's different about this nativity? Can you see? What is it? Say that again. It's only one piece. That's right. What else do you see that's different about this nativity? It's the size of your head? That's right, it's smaller. What is showing here that we normally don't see in a nativity? You see what that is? It's a wall. It's a big, tall wall that is separating Mary and Joseph and the baby and all the wise men and the shepherds in the background. And what's happened there in Bethlehem is that they've built this really big wall around the city. And so people are separated from each other. And this kind of represents what might have happened if that wall was there long ago when Jesus was born. That wall can sometimes separate. Do you guys have any, like, fences in your neighborhoods? Yeah? Are they, like, so tall that, like, they're as tall as this building? No, you can usually see over them, right? And you can usually get inside because there's usually maybe a gate or something to get in there. And you climb. That's right. I don't think you could climb this tall wall. So this is a time that we're going to have a chance to talk about the wall and some people who are living there with this wall in their lives right now. We're going to hear about that later in this worship service. But for right now, maybe we could say a prayer for all the people who are living in Bethlehem. Dear God, we ask for your prayers for the people in Bethlehem, so that someday the wall can come down and all neighbors can be with each other. Amen.
Thank you so much for being here.
All right, friends, this morning you get to go back and sit with your parents or your grandparents or whoever you came with today and to be with us as we hear these voices from the wall. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of Ephesians.
for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might in himself create one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were in far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The God that we call to stay among us is a God who showed God's self in history. Since the creation of the world, God has been present in the world showing God's face in different places and in different times. And in Jesus Christ, we saw plenty of what God wants to show us. And we have encountered a God who speaks through weakness, through the poor, and through vulnerabilities. For the message about the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, we read in 1 Corinthians. We have learned that God comes to us through the suffering people of the world, and for this reason, today, we listen to the people of God experiencing daily suffering because of the wall in the lands of Israel, Palestine, separating Jews and Christians and Muslim people. We listen to understand the suffering of our sisters and brothers. We listen to hear God's voice. So now let us open our hearts and minds as we hear the stories of the people of this region today. These folks were asked the question, what will it be like when the wall falls? Let us listen together.
My name is Bassam. When I'm coming to work in Jerusalem, I have to leave very early in the morning in order to be on time. Mainly, I'm facing many difficulties at the checkpoints, waiting many long hours. On a good day, it takes 1 hour, sometimes 2 hours or more. This is to travel only 8 to 10 kilometers or 5 or 6 miles. Sometimes I am late, which affects my job. I would like to bring my mother, who is over 80 years old, to pray in Jerusalem. She has not been in Jerusalem for more than 30 years, but unfortunately her health would not allow her to withstand the situation in the line at the checkpoints. Recently, I needed to bring my wife to St. Joseph Hospital in Jerusalem, but she could not get permission from the government in Israel. She only gets permission twice a year to visit Jerusalem. And right now, my 13-year-old son is training with his school for a race called Right to Movement. One day when his class was coming to Jerusalem to run, the soldiers wouldn't let him pass the checkpoint. Only him and no one else in his class, and for no reason. I can still remember when there were no walls. It was easy for us to move freely, to visit people, to participate in worship in the services in the churches, to visit relatives in Jerusalem or Nazareth. It was easy to keep these relationships. But now, we haven't seen our relatives in many years.
My name is Tamara, and I live in Ramallah. Because I have a Jerusalem ID, it's easier for me to come and go than it is for my friends with a West Bank ID. But I always have a problem at the checkpoint. My work starts at 8 a.m., but I wake up at 5 a.m. to be at the checkpoint at 6 a.m. Sometimes it takes even more than 2 hours to get through the checkpoint. There are always problems. One day, on my way to work, a soldier shot the tear gas and it landed just beside my car. I go to work in the morning and I never know if I will be able to go home after work. If they close the checkpoint, I may have to stay in Jerusalem. I'm lucky because my parents live in Jerusalem, so I have a place to stay if this happens. Another thing is if you walk through the checkpoint, they will take off your jacket and your boots to walk through the X-ray machine. This machine is not healthy for people. It's radiation, not good for people to have every day. Sometimes they will tell you to walk through the machine 3 or 4 times. It's actually easier for me to go to Jordan than to Jerusalem. What will it be like when the wall falls? Well, right now it's hard to even imagine it.
My name is Bassem, and I live in Jerusalem. When the wall was built, it basically divided my neighborhood into two. Not just two neighborhoods, but two states. Our side is residential, but on the other side is the Arab Bank. The mechanic where I used to fix my car, where we would do the grocery shopping, etc. Most importantly, we have friends and relatives on the other side of the wall. We used to see them every week. Now it is very difficult. We can replace the bank, the shopping, the mechanic, but we cannot replace the family members. Now to visit our family, we have to go through a checkpoint just across the street. Getting there is easier. It might just take 45 minutes. But as soon as you get there, you are always thinking about getting home. You never know how much time it will take to get back. Last time, it took me more than 3 hours to return home. My wife's grandmother lives in Ramallah, and she often wants to visit her. But to tell you the truth, I prefer to go to Nazareth because I know it will always take 1.5 hours. Getting to Ramallah, which should take 10 minutes without the wall and checkpoint, can take half a day sometimes. It's not just the issue of the wall. The wall could be demolished, but not the checkpoints. And that would be the same. It's all interrelated. It's all about the occupation as a whole. Maybe they will demolish the wall to save their international reputation, but will continue the other aspects of the occupation. Yes, it would be easier, but the wall is just a symptom. It's like when you have measles. You can't just cover the spots on your face and say you are fine. You are still sick.
I am Faiza. I'm from a town south of Bethlehem, Doha. I'm a town counselor, and I work hard inside my house, cooking, doing my tasks, taking care of my husband and my children, while at the same time working to earn a living. I also try and volunteer and participate in my town and public activities. My friends and my family, they strengthen my sumad, or steadfastness. And they encourage me. As a woman, to work in the fields of peace building, Christian, Muslim living together, and in interreligious, intercultural communication skills.
If you are not in your land, you do not have the life like before. We had delicious food. Now we must wait for help from the United Nations to provide it.
Everything changed very suddenly. We were always afraid and never felt safe. All of a sudden, planes were flying over, dropping papers into the camp, threatening people. But not many of us could read. People were too afraid and began to leave. Some had cars or trucks, but most just walked.
After the wall around Rachel's tomb was built, I felt terrible. Nobody was walking here, only the cats and dogs. The wall creates a feeling, the feeling that it surrounds you, that you are not permitted to move. Every time, every day, you see the wall. When I look outside through the window to see the sunrise or the sunset, the wall is in front of me. When I go to the wall, I feel that something closes in on my heart, as if the wall is on my heart. When I see the wall, I also feel ashamed of myself because it is created by human beings.
All my life, I was in Jerusalem. I was there daily. I worked there at a school as a volunteer, and all my friends live there. I used to belong to an Lydian church in Jerusalem. I was a volunteer there. I arranged the flowers and was active with the other women. I rented a flat, but I was not allowed to stay because I would not have a Jerusalem ID card. Now I cannot go to Jerusalem. The wall separates me from my church, from my life. We are imprisoned here in Bethlehem. All my relationships with Jerusalem are dead. I am dying.
If one day there was no wall, I would feel more than happy. I would call all my friends and tell them the wall is gone. If there is no wall, all the Palestinians could come to Jerusalem and go to the airport too. If there is no wall, we could run from one side to another. The world would be for everyone.
If there was no wall, I would tell children around the world that the wall fell down. Friends who had not seen each other for years could now meet. I and all the children of Palestine will be very proud of all the people who made the wall fall down.
My name is Arij Massoud. I am a 25-year-old Palestinian Christian woman born in Bethlehem, and I currently serve as one of the PCUSA International Peacemakers. I visited the Presbytery of Genesee Valley last week, including this congregation at Gates. Last Sunday evening, I ate Wegmans lasagna in your fellowship hall with many of your youth and youth advisors. Together, we watched the film Detaining Dreams, No Way to Treat a Child. We learned that about 500 Palestinian children are arrested, detained, and prosecuted each year without accompaniment of a parent or the benefit of legal representation. That evening, someone asked me about my journey to America. What was it like to get here? First, I explained that because I am Palestinian, I am not permitted to leave Bethlehem, the city surrounded by the wall, unless I have permission from Israel. To come to America, I also had to apply for a visa. This required an interview by appointment with the American Embassy in Jerusalem. If you miss that appointment, you are not likely to get another one and therefore not be granted a visa, so I was really nervous that I would be able to leave Bethlehem that day, even with the proper paperwork. but I was blessed and was able to make my way to Jerusalem. The interview was grueling. I was not treated very kindly. It lasted several hours. I was asked repeatedly why I wanted to come to the United States and what I would be doing while I was here. This was a terrible experience. I vowed I would never do it again, at least not in Israel. Fortunately, I did receive my visa for a 5-week visit, but the challenge of leaving was not yet over. Because I'm not an Israeli citizen, I am not allowed to use the airport in Tel Aviv or any airport in Israel for that matter. So I had to cross the border and fly out of Jordan. This border crossing includes examinations by the Palestinian Authority, the Israeli Defense Force, and the Jordanian Border Security. It took about a total of 5 hours to cross a border like you might when you travel to Canada. But the trials have been worth the journey. I've been able to share my story with so many people, including you, what life is like as a Palestinian, and to ask you to continue to pray and to act for justice on behalf of my people.
Let us pray. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we offer our prayers to you, O God, in the name of the one who is our hope, our strength, our peace, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let our common prayers for peace and justice and equality be the force of love mighty enough to change the way we treat our neighbors and bring down the separation walls. For nothing can separate us from your love, not towering concrete or deep darkness between searchlights, not distance from friends or despair in our hearts. The world's wrongs can be changed through you, O God. You are with our brothers and sisters crowded at the checkpoints, our sisters and brothers like Arij witnessing for peace. Holy God, you are holy and powerful. Empower us to stand firm against every wall, every barrier, every policy and prejudice which divides and dehumanizes. Born into poverty, to displaced people under occupation, you shared in our human lives, and we know that your love can never be contained by walls of separation. Continue to inspire us, O God, and we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
communion servers find their way into place. I give thanks this morning for all our wonderful musicians, the choir today, our drum circle, the marimba. It is a great, great way to celebrate World Communion. And also for the images this morning, Susan Orr took these on one of her pilgrimages to Israel and Palestine, and also our wall, as you can see here, James Hart created for us. So we give thanks for all the many ways to focus our attention today. Our communion liturgy also comes from the Mosaic of Peace trip. This is, I believe, the liturgy you all shared in communion while you were there. Friends, those who wish to serve Christ must first be served by him, and those who want to follow him must first be fed by him. Those who wish to tell his good news must first taste it. And this is where the table that God intends us to be nourished. This is the time when Christ makes each and every one of us new. So come, you who are hungry and thirsty for a deeper faith, for a better life, for a fairer world. Jesus Christ, who sat at many tables, now invites us to be guests at his. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
Great and mysterious God of creation, we do give you thanks for the wonders of life, the beauty of the world we live in, and the deep and expansive universe of which we are only a small part. We thank you that you have not left us alone in this world. We are blessed with the community of others. We experience your presence in the love we share and in the mysterious ways beyond our abilities to comprehend or put into words. We are grateful for the covenants of grace you have always offered to your people. In ages past, you sent leaders and prophets to show us your ways and guide our paths. When we failed you, you did not reject us. You are a God of second chances and even more. You are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You accept our repentance and offer us forgiveness. When the time was right, you sent Jesus among us to demonstrate your love in new and radical ways. As we gather around this table to share in this meal, we remember the great extent of his selfless love and give you thanks in humility and awe. We add our voices to the chorus of history, who praise you in various ways and in a multitude of languages and a multitude of songs, forever singing to the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty.
You are holy, dear God, and blessed in Jesus Christ, who came and who comes in your name. Born in a humble family, he challenged the kings and rulers of his day. Submitting himself to baptism and temptation, he redefined what it means to be holy. Teaching with wisdom and authority, he helped us understand you and our world in new and transforming ways. Healing those who were broken, he hinted at the wonders of your new creation. Eating with outcasts and sinners, he showed us how to live with others. Loving you and loving us with his entire being, he demonstrated what it means to be created in your image and to see your reflection in others, whether they be friends or enemies. Suffering humiliation at the hands of those in power, he displayed the true power of weakness. Rising from the dead, he proved that nothing is beyond the power of your redemptive love.
And so we are bold to come to you, O God, in prayer, naming out loud those joys and concerns of our hearts, our happiness, and our fears. As we come to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the needs of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. We cannot take this cup and forget those who are thirsty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war. We cannot celebrate a family feast and forget our divisions. We cannot gather around this table and forget those who are suffering. We cannot accept your grace at this table and pretend we were already fine. With all we've experienced in the last days, there is so much on our hearts and minds. So many people and situations, problems, hopes, signs of brokenness, and signs of life. So hear now, loving God, the prayers and petitions as we offer them in silence. Gracious and loving God, infuse this gathering with the presence of your Spirit. Bring us into communion with Christ as we experience his presence in this sacred meal. May these ordinary elements of life, this bread, this cup, be for us the offering of Christ's body and blood, nourishing us and equipping us to be the body of Christ in the world, especially as we return to our homes and families and communities. Filled with your Spirit, may we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Loving you with our entire beings and loving others as ourselves, God, these are the marks of your kingdom, which we pray for now as Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. We remember that Jesus, on the night of his arrest, shared a meal with his friends, and he took bread. And he blessed it, and he broke it. He offered it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And every time you eat this bread, you take this cup, and he did so, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. Friends, the body of Christ, just like our relationships and our families, are messy. And we give thanks for those reminders that we come to this table knowing that we will be fed and filled with grace. Let us receive the sacrament. Will the communion servers please come forth?
Thank you.
Friends, this is the body of Christ. Taste the goodness and grace. Said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, taste the goodness of God's grace.
Lord, we have been fed at this table to be strengthened to serve your people. May we seek ways to bring down walls of injustice in places like Israel and Palestine so that all people may enjoy a fair portion of the abundance of the earth. through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We're going to skip the hymn that's right after here. I've been told from a number of good sources that's a good thing to do. We need a little more practice at that one first. So what we will do is instead celebrate the abundance of God in our midst and in our life, offering back in thanksgiving a portion of that offering. Let us receive the morning offering.
Let us pray. Creator God, we are blessed. We offer these gifts to you, and we in appreciation of our blessings. We ask that you take these gifts and use them to help our neighbors, whether our neighbors be in our backyard or around the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
into this very messy world, doing our best to love one another as God loves us, loving our neighbor as Jesus taught us to do, and connected and empowered by the Holy Spirit now and always. Friends, alleluia. Amen.